being a high income earner is not enough to actually become wealthy, because income is taxed at a higher rate than capital assets are. It's the reason that wealthy people say, don't pay me in income, pay me in stock, right? I'll take $1 of income, but give me, you know, $10 million in stock options, right? So for all of those reasons, we have to get creative. When I think of people of color, when I think of women, other systemically marginalized populations, you have to get creative about how to accumulate wealth with the money and the assets of the future. And that's why I lean so heavily into crypto education. There are scams out there. There are missed opportunities. There is volatility, but there's also great opportunity as well. And so that's why I'm still so bullish on the space. Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Tanya Evans, and my life and work exist at the heart of law, business, and technology. Yeah, I've earned a few fancy titles and degrees over the years, but the bottom line is I'm a writer, speaker, teacher, and lifelong learner, and I'm really excited that you've joined me on this journey. So what is Tech Intersect? Well, it's authentic, empowering conversations with really interesting guests who demystify complex topics to prepare you for the future, because your future is now, and it exists where law, business, and tech intersect. Get ready to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, this is Professor Tanya Evans here for Tech Intersect, and this is another special episode of the Tech Intersect podcast focusing on the Digital Money Demystified series, where each of these episodes leading up to the release of the book on October 24th, I've invited some of my favorite folks who are not just notable, but some of the best and brightest minds in blockchain and crypto education, also the intersection of work, wealth, and innovation, and certainly focus on the future of work, wealth, and innovation. At the top of that list is my dear friend, Dr. Hans, who has been in conversation with me in a previous episode, which we will share in the show notes. But this time we're flipping the mic, and I'm going to sit on the other side and put myself in the position of someone who is navigating this space to help you move through your particular crypto journey with all of the information so you demystify the space. And we are focused today in this episode on the myth that because crypto evidently is a scam, because it's too volatile. And so I asked Dr. Hans to come on and talk about this issue of volatility, what it means, the nature of money, and also how that factors into a really strong financial literacy education to be your proper foundation moving into the space. So I am turning this over to Dr. Hans. We will talk about all of that and more in a moment. But first, my dear friend, Dr. Hans, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Prof. It's just such a delight. And I know, you know, I've been looking at the book that's coming out, been reading it, and it's just been absolutely phenomenal how you're walking individuals through. And I don't want to give anything away on our, you know, during our discussion today, but you all listening, you're in for a treat. But let's go ahead and dive in. So, Professor Evans, what do you believe holds many people back from either investing in crypto or becoming crypto curious? What do you think holds many people back?
Well, there are a number of different things, but one in particular, and putting myself in the position of, you know, starting to learn for the first time back in 2017, I believed all of the myths, just for criminals, only a scam. But underneath it all is a fundamental misperception or misunderstanding of the nature of money, the nature of markets, and just using money and assets as tools, which I really have started to think more as tools of empowerment, tools that lead to freedom in a number of different ways. And so there's so much mis and disinformation, or we call it fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the space. It really prevents people. And I also think that it can be a very scary topic. And I know from our previous conversations, even folks thinking about money, they have a visceral reaction. So getting underneath it, you can't really fully leverage and appreciate the future of money if you aren't in right relationship with your current assets. So I think a lot of that prevents people from even learning more, to your point of being curious, let alone actually buying. And one of the biggest and most persistent myths is it's too volatile to even touch.
Yes. Yeah. So volatility, before we dive into discussing why people feel like this asset is too volatile, let's break it down. Can you explain to the audience, what does volatility even mean? And with that explanation, is volatility a bad thing?
Great question. So volatility basically refers to the rate at which the price of an asset, in this case, obviously we're talking about crypto, the rate at which it increases or decreases for some type of return on investment. And sometimes that happens over a long period of time, meaning there would not be a great deal of price fluctuation over time, relatively stable, right? Oftentimes we think of the bond market as providing some stability, or the level of a currency, like generally speaking, the United States dollar, that doesn't ebb and flow too much. We're in a hyper cycle of inflation now. But then you think of basically the speed and degree of price changes. And so high volatility really means that the price of a cryptocurrency can fluctuate really dramatically over a short period of time. We are recording now on August 30th. And even at the end of this month, in the last 48 hours, actually, the price of Bitcoin, for example, had gone down to maybe about 25 per coin, then like up to 27,000. So experiencing that much change and then up to 31 and back down, that could happen in a relatively short period of time. So it's not good or bad, but it is literally part of the life cycle and energy of any asset class that has some type of value.
Yeah. And I often say everyone loves volatility when it's to the upside,
how right? About
because,
that?
Because then they are making money. It's volatility to the downside, which individuals do not understand. So why do you think crypto is so volatile?
What I've learned, and a lot of what I kind of extrapolate on in the book, is the nature of nascent or new emerging markets. As that particular market, in this case, again, cryptocurrency, starts to open up, becomes more global, and there are more participants involved, and it is immature. It's an immature market. It's not fully baked in. We're literally watching, for example, the plane. We're building the plane as we're flying it. Because the rapid nature of the development of this technology in particular, but not certainly in a vacuum. We see the proliferation of new tools in the decentralized web, in the digital economy as well. And crypto assets are a part of that trajectory, to be sure. And so understanding that all markets at some point in time are new, they emerge. There is a lack of agreement about the proper price for something. And so you can have folks bidding high, bidding low. There's not a lot of agreement until it starts to settle in. So the fact is that cryptocurrencies have experienced price fluctuations and periods of stability, also known as sometimes either a down market or a bear market, or sometimes we describe it as the price moving sideways. Good or bad, but there's relative agreement from buyers and sellers about the nature of the value. So not good or bad, but for all emerging markets, not the least of which is crypto, we could have said that for the early stock exchange as well, that there was such volatility and unpredictability that it gave rise to certainly the SEC. There are all sorts of regulations came in to make the markets more predictable and reliable. That is not the nature of crypto at this moment in time. And so it's probably a natural part of this type of asset class that isn't controlled by a particular government or entity.
Yeah. What do you believe is the cause, or what tends to drive crypto prices up, right, with positive momentum, and what tends to drive it down?
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Yeah, this is interesting because we might actually even have to separate out some of the OGs like Bitcoin and ETH versus obviously a stable coin that's supposed to never fluctuate in price, right? Those, when I talk about the OGs in the space, those that have significant historical data. So Bitcoin going back to January of 2009, we have Ethereum in 2014. I will say that even though we have thousands of coins and tokens at this point, they tend to follow Bitcoin, even ETH to some extent. A rising tide lifts all boats. But at its essence, we still have to use fundamental principles of when there are more sellers than buyers, prices go down. When there are more buyers than sellers, prices go up. And that is a fundamental across all asset classes. I think there's some, we may have talked about it before, but some macroeconomic impacts when I think about the price since 2020 when the pandemic began and everything was shutting down and there are wars and rumors of wars and all sorts of other systemic pressures on the asset class itself, having nothing to do with the mechanics. The fundamentals of Bitcoin remain. The fundamentals of other crypto assets remain. Then, of course, we had the crypto contagion, which scared a lot of people last year with the Sam Bankman-Fried and the Genesis Bank and all sorts of other things happening in 2022. We also have regulatory uncertainty. It's not that the space is unregulated, but with uncertainty, there's tends to be periods of time where lots of money sits on the sidelines or goes to find more agreeable and welcoming markets outside of the United States. And so a lot of those things have played into the cyclical nature of the rise and fall. I think that money in general has an energy. It has a life cycle. We have periods that are up and periods historically that are down across asset classes. And in fact, final point around Bitcoin, next year in 2024 will be another halving event. And historically, prices have risen of Bitcoin and then the rest when there's a halving or halving period as well. So that's a life cycle that you really have to study a bit to wrap your brain around to know when it might be time to hold them and fold them or buy, walk away, run, like all of those things to make sure that you are moving consistently with the market rather than against it.
So you know and understand that this asset is volatile. Why has it still been in your good graces? Like, why do you still consider this asset and educate others about it?
So I think that there, with a lot of risk, there's also the opportunity for reward. Because in the United States in particular, crypto assets generally are taxed as capital assets. And given the historical positive impact over time to communities that are focused on acquiring capital assets. What are those? Those are assets that actually create a return on investment in addition to having their own value. So for example, a capital asset like a home, you might buy it at $200,000. By the time you're ready to sell, maybe the value is $300,000. You get your original investment back. That's your basis plus the upside of the return on your investment as the asset class. You may also rent it out and have income that passively is generated as well. So there's a lot of power in capital assets. But with that, there's been a lot of systemic limitations. Maybe you can't buy a house. Maybe you've been redlined out of it. Maybe you don't have access as a matter of either education, getting the type of employment that's not just a job, but also a career that offers you retirement assets, which many people leverage and use to pass on wealth from one generation to the next. Being a high income earner is not enough to actually become wealthy because income is taxed at a higher rate than capital assets are. It's the reason that wealthy people say, don't pay me in income, pay me in stock, right? I'll take $1 of income, but give me, you know, $10 million in stock options, right? So for all of those reasons, we have to get creative. When I think of people of color, when I think of women, other systemically marginalized populations, you have to get creative about how to accumulate wealth with the money and the assets of the future. And that's why I lean so heavily into crypto education. There are scams out there. There are missed opportunities. There is volatility, but there's also great opportunity as well. And so that's why I'm still so bullish on the space. Hi, I'm Dr. Tanya M. Evans, author of Digital Money Demystified. And I want to let you know that to stay on the leading edge of any opportunity, especially investing, you have to empower yourself with the tools and resources needed to keep your knowledge and skills current. And if you're relying on last year's information or even last month's, look, you're already behind. Sure, you can try to figure this out on your own at YouTube University. The problem is, it's difficult to separate fact from fiction with so many carnival barkers banking on your inexperience. And of course, there are the naysayers, usually from legacy finance, banking on your fear while they quietly help their high net worth clients to invest. All of it muddies the waters when all you want to know is how to get in safely, legally, and confidently so you're not left behind. That's why I wrote Digital Money Demystified, where I take the top 10 crypto myths head on and give you well-researched, well-supported facts to empower you to make good choices out there in the new digital cash economy. As a law professor who developed the first blockchain crypto and law online certificate program, a retail and corporate crypto policy and education trainer, and a thought leader appearing regularly on national media, I've done the heavy lifting so you don't have to. Look, there are plenty of books and courses on which crypto assets to invest in. Digital Money Demystified is the book you read before you dive into those. So head to digitalmoneydemystified.com to learn more and prepare for the future of money and wealth today.
Yeah, when I think about people in our community, right, often when you listen to cookie cutter, let's call it financial advice or expert commentary, it is, you know, just buy a regular index and do nothing, right? Which, when I hear that, there's nothing against an index. I feel an individual as a baseline should have exposure to some kind of, you know, US stock market index. I agree. But can you imagine just stopping at the status quo, right? We're looking at the wealth disparity. And the thing about catching up to a group that's ahead, or like if you're in a race, if you want to catch up to someone who started running like a very long time ago, you cannot run at the same pace that they are running if you're looking to catch up. So from an investment standpoint, that means that, you know, we have to do more to identify and find assets that will grow much faster, right? So to the discussion we're having, volatility, that will grow a little bit faster and add that into the mix of capital assets for the future, right? If your listeners were to go to Google and they were to type average price of a home in 1940, it's $2,938. So pretty much about $3,000 in 1940. Fast forward to today, I believe the average house is about $420,000 or $450,000. Got that growth. Most people are so focused on real estate now. Meanwhile, when I look at that asset, I'm like, you should have gone back to like 1940, right? So what is the next asset that is going to provide that 100x potential growth? And I just don't want, and I'm sure you share in the same sentiment, we don't want people in our community to miss this opportunity.
That's right.
So let's talk about stable coins for individuals who perhaps do want exposure to crypto, but perhaps they just want to keep the value steady, or they want to be able to make a fixed kind of percentage, let's call it return on their capital investment. So almost like I know this definition isn't the best, but almost like a dividend of sorts, or like, you know, or like a bond distribution of sorts. So we can start first with talking about stable coins. And for individuals who maybe in the future, not now, are thinking, hey, once this thing is established, it's regulated, how can I get some kind of passive income stream, whether it's a, you know, a dividend coupon or some, whether it's a dividend or maybe like a coupon, like how, you know, bonds pay out.
Right. That's fascinating. And it's interesting that you're saying this, because I've been thinking about how to reimagine ways to onboard folks. I was very focused in 2020 when I opened the Advantage Evans Academy, really focusing on Bitcoin. I'm not a maximalist per se, but I have supreme respect for Bitcoin. It's just different.
Yes.
I also am a former chair of the Maker Foundation. I love the Ethereum ecosystem and see there's a lot of power that we have a lot to work out on the DeFi space to be sure, but certainly a lot of opportunity. And ETH and the Ethereum virtual machine, it's different. It has a different intention and purpose altogether. So I'm a both and kind of person and respect them both for different things. So that's an aside. With that, thinking about the role that stablecoins, as you mentioned, play into not only holding a digital asset that is a medium of exchange, right? Or a unit of account, 1, 2, 3, 4, or I pay you in a particular stablecoin that reflects the price of some type of physical asset. In addition, that has a lot of power where folks who are somewhat risk averse may still find the benefits, as you've mentioned, in the crypto asset space, where that's a great way to learn how to fund a wallet. It's a great way to find utility and use cases as you travel the world. I travel extensively. I don't want to have to go from dollars to euros, et cetera, et cetera. I can use a global currency no matter where I am. It's a great deal of power in that. It's frightening to the status quo. Most of our taxes are going to fund wars to protect borders. But what about the reality that we're moving into a borderless society? Or probably returning to it, if I'm being honest, right? So the idea of focusing on a stable, I love USDC. Tether obviously is a very critical and important part of the ecosystem. There's Dive in from Maker. There are also, you know, there are a lot of exchange tokens that function also as stable. There's some legislative things that have to be worked out around stables, but we shouldn't have the same fear or concerns from a legislative or regulatory point of view that we do for the other coins and tokens that don't hold their stability. There's some issues around how the price remains stable, but I think it's a great way to sit outside of the volatility if you are somewhat risk averse while you learn in the space.
And let's call it, and I know that, and this is not necessarily a specific question like Ethereum per se, but and also the technology is going to evolve. But do you foresee in the future individuals being able to get some kind of stream of dividends or coupon payments from digital assets?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So we had a period of time before I think of the Earn product with Gemini. I think of Coinbase having its own, but pulling it until the regulatory issues surrounding it. There's kind of a cloud of regulatory uncertainty or pushback that's just going to have to be resolved. The short answer is yes. I remember before those systems were or products were shut down early when I first started using Gemini, parking my crypto on an exchange. I don't recommend leaving things on an exchange because the exchange is meant to exchange one currency for another. But as a matter of risk to reward, the amount of earning on some of those coins and tokens was just dwarfing the amount that could be earned leaving your fiat in a bank. It's ridiculous. You could hold 6-7 figures worth of money, and it is literally laughable. I could literally find more coins in my sofa than I could earn with 6 figures in a bank. Yeah. It's absurd. And then for the privilege of me leaving it there on a fractionalized basis, because we know if we all showed up at the bank, we could not all get our money. Then you contrast that with the opportunity to have $1,000 worth of Tether or USDC or something and leave it there on the exchange and get a return. It was shocking the amount of money that was being generated, which is why it's no surprise that it would create concern with the status quo to pull it. So the short answer to your question is I do imagine a world. It's not a matter of if, but when. And if not in the United States now, there will be opportunities in other markets, which is creating a real brain drain here in the United States.
Yeah. What would you say to a family relative, a close friend who is terrified of investing in crypto or owning crypto because of the price fluctuations or volatility? What would you say to them? Someone who's really close to you, right?
So they already trust me. So there's a lot riding on it, right? Well, this is great. So there are a couple of key things that I would share with my family and friends and my favorite listeners. You are those people as well. The one, and we talked at the top of the show about it, that volatility isn't unique to crypto. And that to remember, again, that all financial markets, including traditional assets such as stocks and bonds, can experience fluctuations and volatility. And crypto is subject to those same fluctuations. Crypto is still an emerging asset class. So it's in its early stages. It's still developing. And that certainly can contribute to volatility as well. And as the market matures and becomes more established, it's certainly expected to become less volatile. Volatility actually can be beneficial. So we've talked about it. The minute you say it, it's kind of this buzzword that means volatility bad, but it should be noted as an issue for investors to focus on, but it provides a lot of opportunities for those who are willing to take risks with that particular asset as part of a larger portfolio. That if you have something that is relatively stable and it's not going to earn a significant amount, but you can rely on it to be 4, 5, 6% over time, then maybe you counterbalance that with something that is more aggressive. Any emerging asset class. I remember talking about foreign markets in that way. And I remember having a conversation with a financial planner. It's like, this is really rough stuff. I mean, you could make like 30%, but you could also lose like 70%. And I'm somewhat risk averse. So I was like, oh, we'll come back to that later. But volatility can be beneficial when you can take down markets and increase your positions for the next surge. And so leaning into that can really have a nice return on investment. And then finally, volatility can and probably will decrease as the asset becomes adopted, greater adoption, more individuals, more institutions start to adopt cryptocurrencies. There's greater regulatory clarity and certainty. We're all using the same language that we can expect from that, that the market will become less volatile. There's increased stability when more people are using something and they trust it as well. And we've certainly seen that in stock markets, in foreign exchange markets and other emerging market equities, again, maybe like a foreign exchange. So those would be some of my takeaways in terms of recognizing it as what it is today and also recognizing the potential of what it will be, not if. Crypto is going to fund and be the rails that for the Internet of Things are with artificial intelligence, the intersection of AI and blockchain and crypto. When I think of the power of decentralized finance, this is not going anywhere. And so we have to understand it. We have to know the language. We have to lean in as a matter of education and prepare ourselves or like stay ready so we don't have to get ready, particularly in a down market where people aren't chasing price. Right. This is a great opportunity, an important opportunity to learn. 2024, I believe, not legal or financial advice, but in my professional opinion, is likely to see an upsurge again. We've been in a down market for 3 years. Generally speaking, that's followed by an upcycle, which happens to coexist or will coexist with the halving event that we mentioned. So it's time to really take a closer look and to focus on the future and prepare for the future today.
Yeah, I think 2024, 2025 is going to be an exciting time. And for some reason, I feel like for most individuals who haven't taken their time to really understand this new asset, I feel like, and I don't know why I feel this way, but it's a gut feeling. I feel like it's getting to almost this opportune moment where the price of, let's say, Bitcoin and other digital assets are going to just take off exponentially. And later down the line, many people will be looking at it and feel like it's too late because maybe it's like filling the blank with regards to whatever price it could appreciate to from here. And I just feel like before that, the ETF approval, which is something which is being talked about right now, before the halving, before Coinbase wins a lot of the challenges it's taking to courts with regards to the SEC, and also before regulation goes through the House and the Senate, There's just so many things that are coming together in a way that many people who are not in our community, specifically referring to the crypto community, they are going to miss out. Because if all of these things converge and they converge in the way that we anticipate it will, like ETF approval, the halving happens, the regulation comes in, and also Coinbase legally wins most or all of its suit, it is going to be exponential in terms of growth. So
absolutely.
I'm hoping people grab a copy of the book, read it, prepare, understand, get exposure before the train literally leaves the yard. But with that being said, and I know perhaps maybe you don't often do this, but when you think about, and you can answer the question from two different standpoints, or you could pick one. When you think of crypto as an asset class, in total worth about $1 to $1.2 trillion right now, where do you potentially see it going? That's one way to look at it. The other way is to directly speak to the price of Bitcoin and where you anticipate that going. So you could pick whichever you're more comfortable.
It's interesting to focus on the value. I love, and I'll leave this with listeners going to coinmarketcap.com to track not just individual coins and tokens, but what the overall valuation is in the space. And it's a pretty small amount in comparison to traditional finance today.
Yes.
That is, it won't ever be lower. Yes. I'm willing to stake my reputation on that. It's not going down. It can only go up from here. And the sky is really the limit, because some of the limitations that have been put on the haves and the have-nots will buckle under the weight of something that is not controlled by those who would have there be 1% and the 99%. It makes me think of an interview that I did early. I feel like it was one of the first three or four episodes of Tech Intersect back in 2020. And it was with Andreas Antonopoulos.
Amazing.
And for those who don't know, definitely will include a link to Andreas's information. He's one of the preeminent minds in this space and also holds the industry to account to be as good as its promise, to borrow a political phrase, to really focus on the 99%, like it literally, it being Bitcoin in particular. He's a Bitcoin maxi and with good reason, and was instrumental as a cypherpunk in the early years to help divine the course for the community. He is really focused on inclusion, this idea that this is a type of thing, this technology that allows for rules that we can all see and agree without rulers. And I love that so much, because I did this Medium article about Kwanzaa principles, the African-American celebration right after Christmas leading up to the new year, that focuses on a number of principles, one of which is like cooperative economics, collective work and responsibility, those things that talk about self-determination. And the ethos and spirit of that celebration really aligns quite nicely with cypherpunks, completely different groups, but aligned in the idea of self-determination, which is possible. Yeah. And it's not a matter of if, but when. We are witnessing a dramatic, a seismic change in the power structure and dynamic for opportunity that is not driven by anyone in particular, but is for everyone, if we get this right. Like, the only limitation at this point is our ability to educate and position ourselves and start where we are. And so that's why Digital Money Demystified was so important for me to share not only my journey, and I talk a lot about my own journey in the introduction and in the chapter titled Separating Fact from Fiction. That's it. You know, that's my love letter to you. At the end of it is like your call to action of where you go when you want to go from cash to crypto. In the middle, that's where I want you to spend most of your time. Those are the 10 most pressing myths, and how we right-size the conversation. So we remove that final barrier, which is mindset leading to the education that will ultimately lead to financial empowerment. So if we leave folks with nothing but that, that reality that, as you said, this is the time. This next 18 months from, the book comes out October 24th. The next 18 months.
It's huge.
Huge. The world will change more in the next 18 to 24 months than it has in the last 10 to 20 years.
Absolutely.
On the rails of the technology that we're talking about now. So positioning ourselves here is the real flex, as the young people say. So I will leave folks with that thought, but that's why I know both of us are so impassioned about the educational opportunity that will lead to the transformation. It's not really about crypto. It's not really about blockchain. This is about freedom.
Yes.
This is unparalleled freedom, because the tools that will give you freedom for the life that you divine and deserve, so you spend more time with the people you love doing the things that you love, it starts with the foundation about what the next opportunity is. That's what you spoke about, right? When you compare real estate and the advantage of, yeah, it'd be great to own it. And there's until, you know, I think of sometimes volcanoes might create new land masses, but unless and until that happened, the land is what it is. It's finite. Bitcoin is finite. And so those are the things that we want to focus on so that we position ourselves to take advantage of the next great opportunity.
Absolutely. I just want to speak on behalf of the individuals who are already in the crypto ecosystem, you know, saying a big thank you for putting together something that will be incredibly helpful for people in our community. And many individuals might be listening to this and they might not understand the gravity of what is potentially to come over the next 18 to 24 months. But those who are listening and just heed this word of advice, the advice is steady. Learn about this technology, and digital money demystified is a phenomenal starting point. And Prof, you are literally helping our community significantly, right? Because looking at where the crypto ecosystem is, we are literally on the cusp.
Right.
We're on the cusp of liftoff, and the book is coming at the perfect time, and next year's halving. So my prayer and hope is that as many people as we could possibly imagine get their hands on a copy, go through these myths so that they are reassured that digital assets is the future. The same way we've cherished physical property for the longest time, it's obvious to everyone that the future is going to be more digital and tech enabled than it is going to be physical. So our assets, our wealth, our property needs to have a digital component. So yeah, thank you so, so, so much for taking the time to discuss crypto and Bitcoin volatility with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for answering the call to help me flip the mic and engage in this conversation. And the conversation continues. But I think there's a lot of good stuff in here for everybody to focus on and let folks know how they can learn more about you and your work as you continue to educate people in this space as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at The Investing Tutor. I'm also on Twitter at Investing Tutor, and LinkedIn. You can search for me at Hans Boateng.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Dr. Hans.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Tech Intersect podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you love it, please tell the world. If not, go ahead and tell me. And in either case, drop a comment or ping me on social media at IPProfEvans with the hashtag TechIntersect. And finally, a quick reminder on digital safety. There are a lot of scammers out there impersonating me and others, and I need your help. Now hear this, and remember, I will never slide into your DMs to say peace and blessings or hey, and I will never reach out to solicit your time or your money on social media, like ever. I'm not a trader. I am an educator and an attorney licensed in 4 states. Thank you very much. I'm here to inform, inspire, and empower. No cap, and definitely no Forex. So be careful, make good choices, and remember, I developed an entire free masterclass about the topic of digital safety in the crypto space. So check out secureyourcryptobag.com for more information. That's secureyourcryptobag.com. All right, that's all for this episode. Until next time, continue to shine.